step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
O'Reilly.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
O'Reilly. Auto Parts.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello and welcome to Pod on the Tyne Match Day. I'm Taylor Payne and I'm simply here to introduce the episode before I disappear into the night like Batman, albeit Batman with quite a heavy cold. Eddie Howe's men will need to be superheroes today if they're to get anything out of Man City, a team that Howe doesn't exactly have the best record against. Let's catch up with Chris Woff at St James's Park and see if he spilled anything down his trousers this week.
Well, there's about an hour to go until kick-off here at St James's Park, and we have the team news, and it is a surprising team news. Perhaps not as dramatic and surprising as some people would have liked. Not quite the revolution of the 11 that I think a lot of people may have hoped for. There are three changes to the side who lost at Brentford, all three of which are in defence. One of them a bit of a surprise. Sven Botman really struggled away at Brentford, and he has been dropped despite Dan Byrne being suspended and not being in the side today. And so it looks like Malik Chow is going to play his left-sided centre-half, and Fabian Scher comes back inside, seemingly to get that cross-field raking pass of his into the team. At full-back positions, it's a big, big boost because Tino Livramento makes his first start since September. He's a surprise inclusion in the 11, maybe. We thought he'd be in around the side, but surprise inclusion in the 11. Lewis Hall back in left-back, as expected. So Kieran Trippier drops out of the squad entirely. Mass for an update on that. Not entirely sure on his fitness. No Anthony Gordon in the squad, so he hasn't made it after his hip problem. And the front six remains the same. So that midfield three continue, despite their poor form, despite Joe Linton having gone off injured at Brentford. That midfield three, Howe has gone for what is really his first choice front three. Physicality you want against Man City in midfield. You want Joe Linton to go around and Buster got really to dispossess them, but he hasn't been performing all season, so that's a big show of faith. He needs to deliver, so did Snarley and Bruno Guimaraes. Then Jacob Murphy continues on the right, Voltimata through the middle, and Harvey Barnes out left. Sean Neaver's on the bench, didn't play for the under-21s last night when they lost against PSG, and this explains why. Also, there's two goalkeepers on there in John Ruddy is one of them, alongside Aaron Ramsdale, so that shows how Newcastle are quite weakened with the current injuries and suspensions they've got. Veg doesn't look as strong as it has done previously necessarily. But big calls made. Also, not such big calls. Is this going to be a 4-3-3? Will it be a change of system? How do Newcastle approach this differently or otherwise? Howe has promised that things will be different. Well, we shall see.
Livramento to Murphy. Voltimata! Great save! Doku. And it's Phil Foden.
Appealing for penalty.
Well, it's been checked and cleared. Now Barnes trying to get moving again. It's Voltimata! And again he's denied. Slotted through by Guimaraes. Here's Murphy. Barnes! Disbelief. And O'Reilly's got forward. Haaland! Denied by Pope. Ryan Shirky. Foden! Another one that you would have expected to bulge the net. There's Guimaraes. Barnes. Guimaraes moves on to it. Barnes!
One of the more difficult chances of the day, and he takes it superbly.
Haaland climbs, falls here to Ryan Shirky. And the strike is in from Ruben Dias. Here's Harvey Barnes again. Clipped across by Murphy towards Valtamada, who gets up. And it's off the woodwork and turned in anyway. Harvey Barnes and the double.
Question of offside, is he off?
Good news is coming. Listen to the noise.
Oh, Chris, I am buzzing. That may be something to do with the espresso stout that I had at 9:25 in the morning, 5 minutes before kickoff. Started early. That's because I am not in Newcastle. I am in Portland, Oregon, and so had to get up to watch the match. Watched it at Goal Bar in Portland with some of the Portland Toon Army crew. So a big shout out to Joe, to Will, to Shane, to Tim, to plenty of others as well. Probably about 20 of us there in the bar watching what can only be described as a magnificent performance. Brilliant result, great response. So much to chat about, so much to get into, but I've missed you. How are you doing, Chris? How was it for you?
That was, quite the occasion, really. That was Newcastle United. It felt like something back to their best. The atmosphere was wonderful. The performance was in so many ways uplifting, and it looked more resembling of an Eddie Howe side. And then the result, I think, in so many ways can hopefully be transformative. Now, I say this fully expecting Newcastle to go to Everton and potentially struggle next weekend, but even so, as long as their home form is holding out, at least that keeps them afloat in the Premier League. And this just proves they can basically beat anyone here. They were unlucky against Liverpool and Arsenal to a certain degree early in the season. Arsenal probably less so than Liverpool, but they've beaten a Manchester City side, a very good Manchester City side, in my opinion, deservedly so. Just looked something resembling a Newcastle Eddie Howe side again.
Yeah, there's a lot to kind of get into. There are a lot of kind of individual points to get into, but let's just carry on with the bigger picture stuff to start with. I mean, it was absolutely vital that there was a response post-West Ham, post-Brentford. You know, we wrote that piece in The Athletic talking about Newcastle acknowledging from top to bottom that there needed to be change, that something had to happen. They couldn't carry on down the same path. And my goodness, they did find a way to respond, didn't they?
They did. And I mean, they started the match 1 point above the relegation zone, given, like, I mean, results have sort of gone their way in the end across the course of today, but they were actually only 1 point above the relegation zone, and it was looking like they could drop into it next weekend if they were to lose next weekend. And so just in that sort of micro sense, it was huge. But in the wider sense of sort of, rediscovering who they are and what they are, really, and Howe spoke after the match about a lot of what we'd written about, that during the international break it was about physically improving as a side, trying to rediscover their intensity, and so that even the players who were away on international duty, once they returned, they had to get back into that, and they had to, and it was, I mean, I spoke before the game being slightly surprised by the selection of some of the players, but basically went back to those big players who had, a lot of them had chances at West Ham and Brentford and didn't perform, and yet today you saw a very different version of Joe Linton, you saw a very different version of Bruno Guimaraes and Sandro Tonali, particularly in midfield, that they just felt players transformed, and that rediscovery of confidence and just finding again who they are and how they should play, or how they certainly should play against these bigger sides. I still think they have a problem maybe against sort of middle Premier League sides as to how they feel they should play moving forward. But I just think that given the fixtures that followed, given the intensity of the schedule to come, a lot of people looked at this game after the international break and felt that I felt that if they could even get a battling 2-1 defeat here, something like that, that would give them confidence. But to have gone and got a victory, suddenly the picture transforms a little bit moving forward. There's less pressure on the next few matches. They have a bit more to fall back on. And so, I don't think it can be overstated how huge this win is. Whether it proves to be transformative in terms of the Premier League form, that's still to be proven. And this team have had some big highs this season and haven't backed them up, and now it's about doing that. But I think regardless, this just feels like such a weight has been lifted that suddenly they can go to Marseille, a little bit less pressure, and certainly going to Everton, more confident filled and with the self-belief to actually believe they can go there and get a positive result.
Certainly transformative in terms of mood, as you say. I mean, just vitally important in that sense. I mean, and I'm not trying to be clever after the event, but, you know, I said pre-Brentford that you could almost see that coming, that performance coming, and I was kind of sad to be proven right. I do wonder, I sort of think this fixture suited them and where they were. I mean, obviously, you know, Man City have the capacity to trounce any team. You know, they're an incredibly good side with incredible players. So, you know, it is a bit like I'm rewriting history, but in the sense of being the underdog, in the sense of everybody looking at Newcastle, everybody looking at Eddie Howe, everybody looking at what the team might do, it was that sort of back to the wall underdog kind of performance, which has suited, it suits Newcastle still, both, you know, both as a team, as a club. I think, you know, that's when you get a response. That's when you're out. I mean, see, as you say, you know, that midfield, seeing Bruno slamming into sort of tackles and then getting the applause off the crowd and winding the crowd up, and Jolinton looking like he wanted to kind of fight the world again. You know, it sort of suited Newcastle, I think. But let's talk about that change. So when we talk to people around the club and they said change was coming, I suppose the first thing we do need to talk about is the lineup. So there were changes in the lineup, some expected, some not. But seeing the two young fullbacks back in the team, they just provided so much energy, didn't they?
It's not just energy, it's the fact that suddenly the team has fresh dimensions to it. Lewis Hall, particularly in the first half, technically was very, very good on the ball, manages to create those triangles on the left-hand side. He's overlapping Harvey Barnes. And to have fullbacks on both sides who can get up and down the pitch, suddenly that frees up the winger because it gives them more space. It means that the fullbacks and the opposition winger have more to think about. On the other side, Livramento linked up really well with Tonali, with Bruno Guimaraes, with Jacob Murphy in front of him. And I just think that it just forced Man City back at certain points, or certainly relieved the pressure a little bit there, whereas the fullbacks who Newcastle have had have defensively been able to contribute, but going forward it's just not quite the same. That Trippier just can't get up the pitch anymore as much, as wonderful a fullback as he has been. And Dan Byrne is not a natural fullback, certainly not a natural offensive fullback. You have athletes, two of the best young fullbacks in Europe probably, and yeah, that you could see the difference they made. Another change at centre back, which was a surprise one. Sven Botman dropped to the bench. Fabian Scher came at the side, and having played as the right-sided centre back in recent matches when he's played alongside Chow, he actually moved to left-sided centre back. That is the one change I didn't necessarily think, it didn't have a negative effect, but I actually think that having him on the left meant that he tried a few of his diagonal passes, but actually he wasn't a full diagonal and he gave the ball away a few times. So I didn't think that necessarily worked quite as well, but Botman has struggled recently. Physically, I think he hasn't quite been there, so that's part of the reason for that change. And the other one was a subtle, more subtle one, and actually was the inverse of what happened after Newcastle lost to Brentford last season, which was to switch Bruno Guimaraes and Sandro Tonali, and this time it was to switch them back. So Sandro Tonali shifted to the right side of number 8 and Bruno Guimaraes shifted to the number 6. I don't necessarily think that's going to be something we'll see every week. I asked Howe about it specifically afterward.
Yeah, that was one of the things we tweaked, just to, without going into too much detail, just to get the appropriate player in the position that we wanted them in. I thought both players played very, very well today.
It was a fast start by Newcastle as well, wasn't it? And you know, that was encouraging, but also seeing those kind of early chances, the Barnes chance, Voltimada, Murphy.
I mean, I mentioned the start, though. I've written on The Athletic this week about the Newcastle's change to their pre-match routine, and actually today they changed it again, and it was Hey Jude, which was played out just before kick-off. Just as the players walked out.
Are you saying that's key to their fast start?
The idea supposedly behind why there was a change was that those in the dressing room, the coaches and the players, wanted to hear fans singing, and a lot of fans did sing. Now, I think it's a controversial song or a divisive song because a lot of fans don't actually like to hear Hey Jude, but it is the one that we speak to people outside the club, gets more people responding. And I'm not saying that was the reason, but the atmosphere did feel electric at that point, and then Newcastle did start in rapid fashion, and that ferocious start, it was 27 seconds Harvey Barnes had the first chance, and really probably should have done better with it. And you mentioned the other chances, yeah, Voldemort had a couple of big opportunities in the first half he should have done better with. There was also the one that, I mean, I think it probably would have been flagged offside if he had actually scored it, but where Murphy whips the ball across the box and Harvey Barnes at the back post, left foot, probably should score, but doesn't connect to it. And it was a weird first half in that it was a really good first half, but there were so many chances at both ends. Man City had a few big chances. I thought Newcastle had the better of them, but I mean, Foden had a big chance. Haaland had a one-on-one early on, which he completely fluffed. He had another big chance, which Nick Pope saved. In the first half, there were seven big chances, and according to Opta, it's the most big chances, as they classify them, as on record, which is from 2010 onwards, and the second highest non-penalty XG on record for a goalless Premier League first half. So, I mean, how there wasn't a goal scored in this first 45 minutes, I have no idea, because it was breathless. It was end-to-end. It was a really, really good game of football.
Yeah, it was absolutely tremendous. I mean, brilliant watching it in the bar. But sort of getting to half-time thinking, well, that was great. That's a response. That's exactly what Newcastle needed, except for what the scoreline said and except for, you know, the knowledge of what Man City could do for you. I mean, that was really my concern at half-time, that Newcastle just hadn't taken one of those chances. And I have to say, you know, much as I like Harvey Barnes, I was saying to myself at that point that, you know, he's just got to take those and he won't get those chances again, which shows what I know. But the encouraging thing from that perspective was that whether it's, you know, at that point, whether it's at halftime when Newcastle haven't really done a lot wrong apart from not score, or to the bits we come on to where Newcastle take the lead and then get pegged back, they didn't allow those moments of disappointment to affect them. And, you know, we've seen that happen this season where they've let winning positions slip, lost a lot of points. There was a great sort of resilience across the pitch, I thought, in that match.
No, I'd agree with that. And yeah, I thought a lot of players stepped up. And I mean, Malik Chow was, I thought, exceptional at the back again. I thought he just was just colossal in marshalling the defence and really marshalling Erling Haaland. Haaland had a few chances, as he's always going to get in a game, but I thought that almost there was one point where Haaland tried to take him on one-on-one and Chow basically stood him up and managed to nick the ball off him. The midfield, I thought Bruno Guimaraes' best performance of the season by a long way. I thought he was everywhere, really, really good. Tonali, energetic. Joe Linton as well. And in the end, they had a bit of... Howe spoke afterwards about the devilment back in his team, and I think that's a good way of putting it. He was like, it didn't cross the line, but they had those moments and they were physical and they were in the face of Man City and they forced some mistakes. I mean, Nico Gonzalez, I thought, had a really difficult time in Man City's midfield, but I think that's because Newcastle was so on it, was so on them and were pressing them.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Chris, obviously you're brilliant at describing goals. I have an extra need for that this week because I have to make an admission here. This is the haplessness. I don't know whether you managed to keep all your food on your plate or all your drink in your cup, but the espresso stout had an effect which meant that I was in the toilet in goal bar when Harvey Barnes scored the first goal. So I'm in need of your description, even if the rest of the world isn't. But can you please tell me what happened?
I managed to get through in the evening without spilling anything, as far as I'm aware. So
congratulations.
The link between me spilling things and Newcastle winning, it has been broken. But the first goal was, well, actually, it came from a very weird clearance from O'Reilly, who sort of just lofts the ball in the middle of the pitch. Joe Linton wins it. And then there's really lovely link-up play between Bruno Guimaraes and Harvey Barnes at the edge of the area. And Bruno Guimaraes runs to the edge of the box, sort of dribbles it forward. Barnes cuts off to the right of him. Bruno plays it inside. And then it's basically a precision pass almost in the bottom left-hand corner. Donnarumma had thwarted Newcastle on several occasions up to that point, but he could do nothing about the finish from Barnes. That is what he is capable of. He can be cool and calm in front of goal, which is the opposite of what he showed in the first half. And it was huge. And then so St. James's Park erupted. And it felt like that was deserved, because Newcastle had been the team largely on top. And without having had loads of chances at the start of the second half, I thought they were the better team, and I thought they were in some sort of control, as much control as you can be against Manchester City.
Yeah, they were the better side. I mean, I came out of the I heard the cheers, came out of the toilet. I didn't know which team had scored at that point. See the score, that's brilliant. Sort of felt bereft, sort of felt cheated. It's a weird feeling because it is tense. It's sort of tense watching it as a fan, isn't it? It's sort of, you know, like normally in the stadium, I have that sort of tension. You have adrenaline, but you're also, that's partly your professional adrenaline, knowing that you've got to try and make sense of what's happening in front of you. And this was just kind of pure tension. But I sort of felt like I missed out. And of course, sit down, and it's like people are shouting, no, go back to the toilet, they might score a second. And I sat down, and then Man City score. And I was worried at that point. There's a scramble, it comes off Cher, he gets the last touch, but it's Diaz's goal. And at that point, you're sort of fearing the worst, thinking that, okay, you know, this is the moment that Newcastle have had before. They will crumble, or they just won't have that sort of tenacity to bounce back again. I mean, it's asking a lot of any team to take the lead against Man City. It's then asking a hell of a lot of them to take the lead again. But that just flurry of activity, what was it, 3 goals in 6.5 minutes, something like that. It was just sort of spellbinding stuff.
Yeah, well, Diaz's equaliser came 5 minutes after Newcastle had scored. And then, yeah, Newcastle respond within about 90 seconds, 2 minutes afterwards. And again, Harvey Barnes is heavily involved. He's at the edge of the box and he sort of feeds it out wide to Murphy on the right. And I mean, Jacob Murphy, he still baffles me as a footballer because he does some strange things, but the way that his crossing can cause havoc, and all day I thought again today he puts the ball in the area and he just causes so many problems just with his pinpoint
totally
accurate
agree.
Balls and he crosses the ball in.
Here's a question, sorry just to interrupt, if Murphy had been playing for Man City, you know, Haaland would have scored. I mean, you know,
almost certainly, yeah.
Yeah, you have to sort of praise Newcastle again for keeping Haaland as quiet as they did. I mean, this has been a bit of a theme for Newcastle. We know that he has struggled on occasion, but I mean, Murphy's crossing and delivery, there were times you're just begging for someone to be on the end of it. But I think Haaland would have had a hat trick if he'd been playing for Newcastle.
Yeah, and he would have lapped up the cross which Valdemara got on the end of, headed it back across, and then Bruno Guimaraes at the back post, sort of, he's being pushed and pulled almost. He leans back and heads it, and it rattles off the bar and back out, and you think, oh, that's a huge chance gone there. And the ball falls to Barnes, and it's almost as if Barnes has more time than everyone else in the area. Everyone else is rushing around, and he takes a touch behind his own, like, lets ball roll behind his own back, and then just flicks it in. It was a really, it was like coolness personified in the moment that Newcastle needed, that as if he'd grown in confidence having scored the previous chance. And yeah, it was massive. There was then a stupid VAR check for 4 minutes. Oh. I mean, I'm not someone who, I'm not quite as anti-VAR as a lot of the other people are, but it's in the moments like that where you just think, why is this going on for so long? And yeah, it was quite a tight call, but just make the call. And is he offside? Well, if he doesn't look offside immediately, then just give the goal, and then they're looking at a push and Man City are whinging. But anyway, finally, the goal is given. Which was, yeah, it was thoroughly deserved. And again, it was just forcing confusion in Man City's area and making Donnarumma, I think, he's learning in English football that there are going to be challenges on him that maybe there wouldn't be in some European leagues that he's played in previously. But that's not for Newcastle to be concerned about, that they got the goal and the goal stood. And yeah, from that moment on, I thought they handled it really, really well. The changes that were made. There was, it was. You probably couldn't see this on the TV, but at the moment that Newcastle decided to go to a back five, which involved Sven Botman coming on as the left-sided centre-half, so Cher went in the middle, it also involved Jacob Murphy shifting across to left wing-back. There was a mini conference between Howe and Tindall, and I mean, they speak a lot on the touchline, but I've never really seen them. It was almost like a heart-to-heart between the two of them, as if they were debating back and forwards. Do we do this? Is this the call we're going to make in terms of shifting Jacob Murphy across? And then they called Murphy across and said, you're going to left wing back. It was really... And I'm going to fast forward to the end here. As the end of the game, you could see how much it meant to both of them. And they walk on the pitch together. They celebrate at the end, but then they also walk on the pitch together and they're sort of hugging, and Tindall has like a grasp around Eddie Howe's shoulders. And I think because they recognise how huge this is, the work they've put in over the last fortnight to turn this around, to change the narrative slightly. And there was an Eddie Howe's programme notes, which are, I'll be honest, usually very, very dull. And I mean, for the most part today, we're very dull. There was just one sign-off, which I thought, and he always mentions the crowd, and he always mentions the noise, but there was like a play at the end of his programme notes where he said, please stay with us and we will give everything in return. And that, to me, suggested that there was a little... fear, a little concern maybe that you know, the negativity was starting to build, that maybe there have been a few questions around decisions that he's made on the touchline. Some of them rightfully so, the results haven't necessarily been positive in the Premier League, but they just felt like unity towards the end. The crowd was singing Howe's name. Eddie Howe and Jason Tindall was playing up, was being played over that was being sang at full time as Rockin' All Over the World was being played. Eddie Howe's Black and White Army was being sang, and it just felt like, you know, everyone was together again, and it was a big moment for that. That was Howe's 100th win as Newcastle manager, and I think it could be one of the most important this season, just as you said earlier, for mood and just for slightly, it just relieves the pressure a little bit going into what is an absolutely relentless run of fixtures between now and the end of January.
Yeah, and of course there were 8 minutes of time added on at the end, and you know, at that moment, as you say, Newcastle do change formations. They've got the five at the back. You know that City are going to kind of come at them. You know, the other thing that we've been talking about in recent weeks is about Newcastle having that nasty streak, or needing to get that nasty streak back. And you know, the pleasing thing was that they did go through some of that stuff towards the end. You know, say after the final whistle, Judinton still looks like he's trying to fight the world. You can tell me a little bit about what may or may not have gone on there in a second. But seeing Newcastle play for time, you know, Murphy going down, other players sort of using those little tricks, that they needed to kind of have that attitude, that spiky attitude. Not talking about, you know, doing anything sort of illegal, but being streetwise again. It was a performance that had everything. It had resilience, it had quality. They had to respond within the game. And all the questions that were asked of them, they found answers, and I just think that's so important. So yeah, so it looked pretty angry at the final whistle. So obviously in the bar where I was, we were all celebrating and hugging and high-fiving and all that, and weren't sort of really paying attention to what was still going on at the pitch. But what was all that about?
Yeah, well, my eyes had been fixated upon Howe and Tindall and the way they were celebrating, and then I sort of looked to the left, and yeah, it was starting to kick off. There was Donnarumma there, and then Ruben Diaz, who likes to get involved in these things, and Joe Linton were both sort of going at one another. There were people trying to get intervene in between them. The referee got involved, and then Eddie Howe came across, and Howe and Stephen Purchase, his assistant, actually had to physically get in between the Diaz and Joe Linton, and then push Joe Linton, who was still trying to push back towards Diaz, and basically march him back towards Glenn Patterson, who's one of the player liaison officers, who then marched Joe Linton down the tunnel. So, I mean, at one stage I was wondering if he'd actually been sent off, but I don't think he was. And I think, that's Joe Linton on edge is Joe Linton at his best, and we haven't seen enough of that recently. And you thought that, I mean, Howe relied on the fact that playing him in a game like this, that it would bring the best out of Joe Linton, and it did. But now we need to see that more often. And Newcastle go to Marseille on Tuesday, who hammered Nice, their local rivals, 5-1 on Friday night. That's going to be a difficult game. They're doing very well in Ligue 1. Haven't done that well in the Champions League yet, but a very tough place to go. And it'll be fascinating to see. Kieran Trippier wasn't involved today. He's got a slight hamstring injury, the way it was described. Anthony Gordon was very, very close, Howe said, so he may be there or thereabouts for Marseille. Lewis Hall came off a cramp, but should be all right. Dan Burns back from his suspension. He's available because the bench looked quite light today. Sean Neave was back on it. There was two goalkeepers, John Ruddy being one of them. on the bench as well, and Newcastle can do with and need those options going forward. Just before we sign off, earlier on, Eddie Howe in the pre-match press conference yesterday, answering me in a slightly curt manner when I asked him about his record against Man City and the fact that he'd never beaten them in the Premier League.
I'm not sure there's a polite way of saying this, but your record against Manchester City in the league's not necessarily brilliant.
Is it not good?
No.
I didn't know that. Cheers, Chris.
So in terms of that, has there been reflections on how you've approached that previously, how you can try and turn that record around a little bit?
We've done everything against them. We've done everything. We've pressed them. We've dropped off them. We've played a 5-4. I don't think we've got anything new left to try, to be honest. We've been unlucky in a few games, I'd say. But then you make your own luck, and you have to give a lot of credit to Pep and his team. I think they've been incredibly consistent over a long period of time, and that's why they've been the best. So full credit to them, but we'll try and find a way, and we'll have a new way of playing. And we never do the same thing twice. So, yeah, we'll keep going until we try and find the answer.
I then asked him afterwards, how does it feel to have won? And also, is this something he's been obsessing over? Has he continued to go back and forth over the fact that he hasn't beaten Man City? And this was his response.
Not really, no. Actually, I'd probably go the opposite way. I don't, you know, it works two ways. You know, we have better results, or have had historically better results against some team than others, and it just works out that way sometimes. I think we've come really, as I said before, we've come really close in different games, and for whatever reason, it hasn't happened. Today it did, but it was down to the players. It's always down to the players. The margins today between winning and losing were so small. I mean, I've been told about the VAR, how tight that was. If that doesn't go our way, you don't know how the game unfolds. But most important thing, take away the sort of the result, was the heart and the spirit of the group. The performance from the team was there. The hunger was there. The motivation was there. And that's the key things we have to take forward. Because I think if those qualities are there with our delivery and the players that we have, we can beat anybody.
Yeah, so he said it's the opposite, despite having said he's in another part of the press conference that he's got lists and lists of things that haven't worked against Manchester City. He said that, no, the opposite, he doesn't think too much about having not won. I'm not sure I entirely buy that, but fair enough, he can say what he wants, because he deserves all the credit for this today, him and his coaching staff and the players, because they delivered. There was a lot of pressure on them, as he said, there's a lot of pressure on them to win. And yeah, let's hope this is a transformative victory in terms of Newcastle's Premier League season as a whole, but it certainly is in terms of mood and general setting around Newcastle right now.
Totally agree. You know, you talked about the team playing on the edge. It's felt a bit like a city on the edge, hasn't it? Or an edgy city in recent days, weeks. They've absolutely set the standard here. They've come out and reminded everybody who they are, what they can be, the team that they are. And now it's about sort of doing that week in, week out, rousing themselves for the sort of tricky, testy away games, not just doing it in the big matches at home against the big teams, but yeah, just really, really, really encouraging, reminding everybody that this is what they have in their locker. There's nowhere better than St James's Park on a day like that. Although I have to say that being in Portland with friends and family celebrating that was pretty special too. So lovely to chat to you, Chris. And yeah, more to come in midweek.
Well, there you go. Thanks for listening to this Pod on the Tyne Matchday episode. We'll be back with an extra time show for the Marseille Champions League game for subscribers, followed by our regular free weekly show a little later in the week. Go to podonthetyne.supportandcast.fm to subscribe. Drop us an email at podonthetyne@gmail.com and give us a follow on the socials at podonthetyne on Twitter X and Blue Sky. That's it for this Matchday episode. Thanks for listening, and we'll speak to you very soon.
Yeah, we'll keep going until we try and find the answer.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.